Hello and welcome to another episode of Building Minnesota Rocker, the Minnesota Rocker Call of Duty Focus Podcast. I'm your host with the most, Ashley, aka Midnight. I'm here with Brett Diamond, the COO, as usual. And today we have on a brand new face, Attach. How are you doing, Dylan? How's it going?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm hitting go live. All good.
Well, I'm Brett. You and Brett. What's up,
yeah,
Brett?
Yeah. Brett, how's it? How are you? You wanted to flex on everybody today and go to the facility, huh?
Yeah, here I am. You know, it feels a little bit like this is one of those apocalypse broadcasts. I'm in an empty, empty office. It's just me, but
an empty compound.
You look like you're in a bunker, which is perfect for Cold War. So,
exactly.
Yeah, there we go.
Head of the game.
Yo, shout out to the chat. Bunch of people in the chat already. Shout out to you guys. And if you're not in the chat, if maybe you're listening on a podcast platform, thank you so much for tuning in to the show. Today we're going to be sitting down and talking with Dylan, a.k.a. Attach. Listen, Dylan, I've known you for a long-ass time.
Very long time.
God, when did you, first go pro? Was it Advanced Warfare or just before that?
In Ghost.
Okay, Ghost.
In Ghost, yeah. So that's when I would have, like I placed top 8. At UMG Philadelphia, that's where we beat Optic when it was Big Timer. Well, that was actually his last event. Big Timer.
Oh, you retired him. It's messed
maybe.
Up.
Nah, it wasn't. Don't put it on me. All Optic fans about it. The Green Wall. Oh, actually, shit. The Chicago fans now are going to get me. But yeah, back in the day when it was Optic, with Nadeshot, Skump, Big T, and Ricky at that event, and I'll never forget that one. That was on my birthday. Beat them, got my first top 8 placing, and there's a video of me telling all them to go home with a Harvard shirt on, not even a team jersey, just a Harvard shirt. So it was a good time.
And was that back in the day when if you went to LAN and you placed top 8, were you pro right away, or did you have to place a top 8 twice?
It was kind of like if you place top 8, you're like a pro. But that's when the league started happening. So once you were in the league at that point, you were considered a pro, even though no one was really, only a very few players were making money and like salary. But yeah, if you placed top 8, you were pretty much considered a pro and in that like circle. But you had to keep like placing well and playing well to like break on in and like become a big name in the scene.
So was that an official designation, or that's just how other players in the scene saw you? Once you finished top 8, you were considered a pro at that point.
That was pretty much the thing amongst the pro players ever since like Black Ops 1, where if you place top 8, you're a pro. And so whenever anyone would do that, they would add in their bio, professional Call of Duty player. But I would say now when all like the actual pro leagues, CWL, CDL starting label, once you make it into those leagues, you're considered a pro now.
So I know Ashley is going to want to get into your origin story, and we want any of the fans that are listening or watching that don't know you to hear your whole background. But I got to start. I got to ask you about the moment at the end of the playoff match against us, where you closed us out, man.
Like, messed up.
We thought we had it, and man, you just locked that down and sent the old version of Rocker into loser's bracket.
Yeah, so,
talk about that was, a little bit. Yeah,
that was definitely a pretty insane match. I feel like a lot of people didn't realize how close that one was, because if we lost that hard point right there, we could have very easily lost that game 5. It was both our first matches of the tournament, and first match of the tournament, like, you never know what can happen. Like, a team can start off hot and they get the advantage of the series. So we were having a crazy series, and I was like, oh my god, we're about to go game 5, so got to prepare for that. But then Zuma made a huge play on the P5 to contest. I was over there with him to like help. Once I realized he already did his thing and we're good, rotated over to the first hard point. Unfortunately, they weren't spectating me, because I went on like a five kill spree like over there by the fifth in the rotation to first. And then once I got on the first, I got the extra like 2 kills, that big 2 piece to secure it, get on the 7 kill spree, and we ended up winning right there. It felt good. We definitely needed that, because you never want to go game 5, especially with a team that you have like no film against, because you guys had a new roster, so you can't really study a new roster. Yes, you can look at old film, but we had played you guys so many times, you knew our tendencies, we didn't know your new team's tendencies, so it was very tough. Was not looking forward to a game 5, so I was like, hey, got to shut it out right now.
That
was a That was a crazy series.
It was
series.
Literally heartbreaking, and I like because I knew, like, because I saw where you were on the map, and when they, it's crazy to know that you actually were on a streak before that. I'm interested to know. Did you record like your gameplay as you're playing, or were you just fully like using as little like anything as possible, little internet, little processing power,
yeah.
Anything?
I did not record anything. I made sure the Elgato was out because the word on the street is it can like add some input or like a little slight delay, maybe like a frame or two difference. Like you, I don't know if like how much it is, but I'm not taking any chances. So I made sure everything's closed, all the internet's off except for the one the internet I need to be playing COD. But yeah, I'm making sure I get every advantage I can.
That's wild. I saw once I saw you in the hill and you got that two piece, I was just like, of course, man. Because there was even another time, I think it was on St. Petrograd, where you had an insane piece up against us as well, and I was like, of course it's Dylan, like of course it is. So I mean, that's kind of crazy that now you're actually on the squad. I mean, this is like a month ago, so you,
yeah, it wasn't too long ago.
Is that kind of crazy?
Yeah, wait, it actually seems like it was so long ago, but it really was not that long ago at all.
Rastamania.
But it's all good. Like we got COD champs next year. That's when we're getting the win.
I'm pumped for this season. I hope you are. I hope all the fans are. It's going to be awesome.
Yeah, no, I can't wait. I can't wait to get to work. Then I realized, like, I think today I'm like, wait, we still have, like, a month and a half until the game drops. So I was like, oh, my God. What am I going to do for another month and a half? But I'm sure streaming Warzone, the betas when they do release, will keep me entertained for most of the time being while we have left.
Yeah, it's this time of year is always hard for Call of Duty. Like, champs happens, and now, like, there's a god dang global pandemic, so you probably can't go on like a usual vacation or something that you might do. But and then now Cold War, I mean, we had a surprise alpha, which I want to talk to you about. I want to talk with you about, you know, your plans for the beta and just like that beginning. It's always an exciting time when the new Call of Duty is about to come out, especially if you're a competitive player or, you know, a fan of a competitive team. That's always the time of year where you're looking for anything to just start building that momentum. What did you think about the Cold War alpha? How much did you play it during the, it was like a 2.5 day weekend?
I played it a lot. I think I got 22-23 hours into it, so it was,
you're the most on the team. I was asking Preston and Major Maniac how much they play. They said they play around 10-12 hours.
Yeah, no, I was grinding. I went into grind mode. I was like, all right, it's time. Gotta get real serious again. So I was just grinding it. Honestly, was playing some challenges on there too. Already having fun with the little wagers. It was always a good time. Or not wagers, the fisties, the fist bumps, like people say. Actually, that's what I was doing.
Yeah.
But just trying to make it more competitive, make it more intense. And, of course, give you that incentive to try a little bit harder and play against people that are trying a little bit harder, too. So it made it really fun for me.
And those were, like, elimination races, right? Like, you'd queue – like, explain how that worked. Because, like, there's no private match in the alpha. So,
yeah.
Like, what did competitive players do to try to, like, put themselves in that competitive scenario, like you said?
Yeah, so it would be you have you and another teammate versus two other people, but they're on your team, and it's just a kill race. So all four of you get into a game. You and your partner try to get more kills than the other two that are on your team, and whoever gets more kills at the end of the game, they win, and they just advance or win the match.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Chat, I see a couple questions in the chat already. Feel free to ask questions. Would love to answer, you know, what you guys want to hear about, obviously. One question that's kind of in relation to this is, any changes you're expecting to see in the beta after playing the alpha? I mean, the obvious is the movement, so explain that a little bit, but what else are you kind of hoping to see from alpha to beta for Cold War?
Yeah, so it's been rumored that the movement is already getting changed. Even before they released the alpha, it's been rumored that they already had changed it for the beta, but they weren't going to roll that out in the alpha yet. So I'm very interested to see what the new movement's going to be, because honestly, the game was pretty slow with like the little slide that was in it already. So if they make it any slower, it's going to be crazy. And I'm excited for that. If it's going to be, Lamar's going to be best AR in the game again, without a doubt. He's already going to be the best, but without a doubt now. And then with the weapons, the one thing I didn't like about the alpha is the fact that you just had everything. I understand why they did that, but I kind of wish like you had to rank up and unlock stuff and like give the players more incentive to like play longer and like, oh, I got this new gun and this new attachment. It's so good. But you had everything unlocked at once, which was cool. It was cool. But I think that's what it got boring fast for a lot of people.
Yeah. Yeah. True that. I think, well, actually, I did. I don't know if this was a glitch. But, like, whenever I would go into, like, the party section to, like, invite people, I could see that, like, my friends had, like, levels. And they actually did have more attachments unlocked than me, which I thought was kind of weird. I was like, well, if they're going to give all the guns, but they're not going to get all the give all the attachments, that seems kind of weird. Like, I don't know. Yeah. I guess there was, like, a small bit of grind, but really none at all. I'm excited for the beta because typically, especially with Treyarch betas, they kind of do, like, different almost events, like, each day. Like, you're going to play the shit out of it on Friday, and then, you know, come Saturday, maybe they're going to add in a new game mode. So it almost, like, keeps it fresh, even though it's just, like, a beta.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm pretty excited. Brett, did you play very much of the beta this – or the alpha, I'm sorry?
What do you count as very much?
Give me a number. Did you play, like – okay, so I'll rephrase the question. Did you play a little bit of the beta, which to me would be like 2 to 4 hours?
I would say I played more than 4 hours.
There
of
you
the beta.
Go.
Oh, see? Brett's
a grinder.
Like,
yo, jinx, dude.
No, I played enough to be on the noob roller coaster of skill-based matchmaking where I like where I was putting up some numbers that I was pretty happy with. And then suddenly the next thing I knew, I was just getting totally roasted. So yeah, I'm definitely, you know, I'm definitely on that noob level trying to level up a little bit.
I feel like they made the guns like really good on purpose. Like those submachine guns were insane.
Yeah.
Like you could map people.
Yeah.
It was nuts, but it was also really fun. So
yeah. That's actually, wait guys, are we gonna announce it right now?
What is
Ashley and Brett?
What is it?
I know, like, I've been getting a lot of tweets. I know, I'm sure the team has as well on the Twitter. Well, to announce our new sub for the season is actually Mr. Brett Diamond right here. He's going to be waiting. If someone's struggling, the team's not going too well, he's ready to come in and take us to the promised land. So,
you know, it's just my management style, right? I want to keep you guys on your toes, know that I'm nipping at your heels, right? You slip up a little bit, Saint and Jake are going to put me in.
Yeah.
Or how about this? We get so far ahead in series that we just toss Brett in to throw him a bone.
That too.
Like, you got
that
to
too.
Play.
It works both ways.
Yeah, let's aim for that.
You know what? I gladly go up against other people from other teams who have played less than a cumulative number of certain hours of Call of Duty. How about that? I'll take that competition. But anything else, I'll probably get crushed.
Yeah, I think
I got faith.
I think you scared. You scared Cassie. She's always watching. She's like, uh-oh, what announcement is coming?
Poor Cat. So Cassie in the chat. She's the director of communications here, Minnesota Rocker. So does a lot of like PR stuff. And anytime me and Brett go live, I'm sure her blood pressure just elevates because there's a bunch of stuff that we like shouldn't usually say. And so yeah, we're just here to scare her. That's what the whole focus
of
the stream
that's
is.
Exactly, that's what we're here for,
get her freaked out. A little bit more on Cold War here, so I got a couple points, then I kind of want to get into like your history and what the heck, how are we here today. But do you think, so someone kind of has a thought about a ranked playlist. Yo Brett, are you able to mute your mic while I'm talking? Appreciate you. Do you think Cold War will introduce a ranked playlist where you can earn rank, like games such as League of Legends or Rocket League? I think so, right? They have to. It's Treyarch, right?
I would hope so, but it depends. Looking back on history with Treyarch, in Black Ops 4, there was like a ranked playlist, which didn't really have that good of a ranking. Like the actual ranking system was not that good.
True.
It was kind of just like the competitive maps and modes. Same thing in Black Ops 3. They unfortunately, very unfortunately, had ban and protect. And I was not going to wait 10 minutes in between every game just to play another competitive game. So ban and protect killed ranked playlist in Black Ops 3. Terrible decision for them to add it in. And I hope they learn from that. But I truly do hope they have a good ranked system, a good ranked playlist. In World War II, a lot of people might not love the game, but it was the best ranked playlist we've had by far. And it was lit. Like, you hit 2,000 ELO, you got invited to the Chris James Crowder, whatever you want to call him, his Discord. And that's where you would meet new amateurs coming up. You would meet pros who are still grinding. Like, I was number one in the world at a couple of times. I know BZ was. A bunch of other pros were grinding it, getting, like, top 5, top 10 in the rankings. So it was fun. Like, amateurs who we've never even seen compete at LAN before or heard of before would be in that 2000 ELO rating and meeting new people, playing with new people. And it was just a really good time. And it just brought for good competition, great content, of course. And I hope they can perfect a ranked playlist again.
So for the noobs among us, like, obviously have a basic understanding of what that means, but is like, are talk a little bit more about just how that works. Like, if you're somebody who thinks you're good enough to potentially go pro someday, can you play enough and grind enough that that's your path to get noticed through, you know, or do you have to be playing game battles and other things, or is it part of the same system?
That's a good question. With the ranked playlist, that is pretty good. That's good enough to get noticed. I don't know if you guys remember. I know Ashley might have seen it on the CompCon Reddit a little bit ago or a couple years ago. Ryan Bacardi. Mm-hmm. I know people are going to remember that name. That guy, he played against me, Scum, and like a couple other people. I forgot who Seth and I were playing with. And he did well. Like, he dropped 30 kills. And he became, everyone started talking about him. His name literally blew up. And I don't think he really got too serious into actually competing. But, like, even for a person to get the opportunity to just play a game versus top pros and do really well and get his name out there, like, that's a life-changing thing. And you never know where you could take that. And there's a lot of people that I've seen turn into pros recently who I would play against and play with in the playlist as well. So I'd recommend playing the playlist as much as you can, earning the rankings with the wins. You rank up. If you lose a pretty good amount of ranking. So you got to make sure you're winning a lot and consistently. But then, of course, you do want to play like some wagers, some tournaments, practice all that other stuff. And you're going to meet really good players there too, and also pros again. So that's probably the best way to play against professional players.
Yeah, I think so. I think for me, I just want take league play from Black Ops 2. And I saw what they tried to do in Black Ops 4. Like, I get it. Like, they were trying to make it so, like, if you win 2, or if, man, I'm not going to describe this properly, but basically, to level up, you need to win, like, 2 of 3, right? So you had to, balanced with, like, wins and losses, which kind of makes sense if they're actually matching you based on the elo that you and the either the people on your team or your opponents are. So the problem was that they weren't doing it so that it was a clear definition of, like, okay, you are here. Like, in World War II, you knew exactly how many points you had, and you couldn't even get into, like, I probably couldn't even play with you attached because my elo was so low. So
no,
like,
yeah, it was like serious, like, you that's the elo, that's the people you play against are right around that elo. And if you get to the opportunity, climb up to, like, level up to the next kind of, like, tier of elo, like, you gotta clutch up, you gotta do it.
And that's the best way to get better too, is to play people who are just better than you, like, a little bit, and then that's how you just learn over time. So I don't know, I could go on about it. I love league play. I'm trash at it, but I love playing it. I just like putting more meaning into the games. I get a little bored of pubs.
Yeah, it's so much fun.
So one more Cold War question here. Someone from the chat says, Cold War seems a little polarizing so far. Do you like changing the titles and mechanics each year, or would you prefer for a core engine, core build of the game like CSGO from a competitive standpoint? So basically, this person's asking, COD changes every year. What's that like at the competitive level? Do you wish it was the same thing, or do you like that it changes every year? What do you think, Don?
It's very interesting with the way COD works, because, I mean, let's be honest, some COD games are much better than other COD games. So what game do we stick with? Of course, I wish, everyone wishes, that we can have one Call of Duty competitive game that just receives updates, and that's incredible. That's not going to happen for who knows if it will ever happen. I wish it would. I'm sure everyone else does, because then we could just have new maps, get new DLC stuff, or like pro stuff, team stuff, new pro player signatures, like all this crazy like custom updates we could do. But with the way Call of Duty works, which this is probably a lot better for content, there's a new game every single year. So every single year, there's new stuff to learn. There's new stuff to record. There's new stuff to do, new maps to learn, new guns, new camos, like, there's just everything. So that's great from like a content standpoint. The competitive side, yes, I do wish it was just one base game that was incredible. But it's very tough to make one COD that's just incredible. Like, who runs that? Because there's a different developers. There's a bunch of different developers that make COD. So it's a really, like, tough thing to do. But, of course, if everything was perfect in the world, I would love that.
Yeah, I will say from an organization and a business standpoint, and I mean, first of all, before I say what I'm about to say, like, you always want it to be the best the best product, the best game, the best competitive scene. So everything I'm about to say is based around that, right? So you want it to be the best core product. But there's definitely positives for the league and just the buzz around it with a new game coming out. Oh, yeah. Think about what this offseason would look like for us as an organization, for fans, for content, if you weren't anticipating the new game, if it was just another season of, even if we loved the old game, right?
I want to play it again. I'm down for another year of Modern Warfare. It was a good game.
Please exit the podcast. Just kidding.
All right. And just like that, I've been dropped.
No, just kidding.
Cassie's stress level just went up. We need a constant sliding scale ranking of your stress level.
Where on the spectrum are you?
No, I mean, it creates an enormous opportunity for all the teams in the league, all the players in the league.
Oh, yeah.
To create buzz around what we're doing, what the brand is doing, the content we're doing. Yep. And it's an enormous opportunity to just keep leveling that up over the course of the offseason. So I'm excited for, you know, I had a lot of fun playing the alpha, but I'm a noob, right? I'm pretty interested. Like, here's a question, Dylan, related to the alpha. Like, do you feel like time spent playing, does that help? Is that going to help you pay off, or will there'll be enough changes from the alpha to the beta and then the beta to the full release that there's no real grind involved now? You're just getting into it.
There can definitely be things that help you. How do I say this right? There can be things that help have like a set base kind of. So, like, you already have, like, a base of what the game is, because it's not going to completely change like crazy. There might be a little movement tweak, but the maps are still the same. The guns are still the same. The spawns are still the same. So there's a lot of things you could take from the alpha and into the beta, then from the beta and into the real game, and just kind of build on top of that. But, I mean, it just goes with, like, it's kind of like anything. If you practice anything for more hours, you're going to improve at it. You're going to just get better. And that's just kind of the way I was looking at it. So I'm like, I don't have anything else to do. Might as well stream and play the alpha all day. And then I'm going to do the same thing when the beta comes out.
Nice. Yeah. For me, I love that a new COD comes out every year. Content, hype, mystery, mystique. The different developers have their different flavors. We're coming on a Treyarch year here. So I'm gonna just go off right now. Treyarch is my favorite Call of Duty developer. Here's why. They have always kept competitive in mind when they're creating their games. If you look at Black Ops 2, man, what a time. The best pub game. Probably, in my opinion, the best zombies game. I'm sorry, don't come for me. I'm not a huge zombies player. But
me either.
And then competitive, and the campaign was pretty lit. Like, what a banger of a game. And that's not to, like, diss the other developers, but just Treyarch, you feel very confident when you know that they're coming in for that year. So here's what I think they should do, all right? And I've thought this for a little bit. Obviously, you have Warzone, right? It's, like, free. And this is, correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm pretty sure this is the first, like, thing. Nah, I think Zombies going from IW only to Sledgehammer in AW was kind of like a crossover. But, like, Warzone's the first thing that's going to, like, stay consistent, right? Unless they're going to change, like, they're not going to change the name. Maybe they're going to change the map. Please, I hope they change the map, please. but, like,
I think,
if Warzone's a constant and it's free to play, why not make competitive a constant and free to play? Like, let's really do this. Come on. Have Treyarch make it. Have this constant competitive thing. Maybe every year it gets new maps from the new game or whatever. I don't know. I don't work for Activision or Treyarch. If I did, I would be in the boardroom all day being like, you guys, we should just do Black Ops 2. But, like, do you see what I'm saying? Like, if there was that consistency there, like, if there was a pillar of the game that was built in, free to play, hopefully, and people could just, like, play the competitive version of the game and it's pretty consistent year over year, like, how dope would that be? Am I alone in that or what? What's going on? What do you think about that?
Well, like we were saying earlier, with like the fact that the game switches every year is a huge advantage for Call of Duty, because like you can go from a game that wasn't too good to an insanely good game, and people will love it at the start and keep watching throughout the whole season. But there will be times where we go from a really good game to the not so good game, and the views will kind of like all off. People don't really enjoy the game anymore. So, like, I think that really helps bring a lot of new eyes in every single year. Because let's be honest, every single year we see the Call of Duty ad during the NBA playoffs, and every person that's sitting on their couch watching the game is like, I'm interested. I'm getting Call of Duty again. They might only play it for a couple of days if it's not good. They might play it for the whole season if it is really good. So I think just having that interest every single year is incredible, and it just goes to show how good the Call of Duty marketing team is when they get to business. But of course, in me, like, if the professional player in me, the competitive side of me, if we could just have one standalone COD, that's incredible. I would love that, but I don't think it's ever gonna happen. And if it's free, that'd be lit too. If it's free, like, oh, it's over. Like, it's insane. It will become, it's going to be crazy how much bigger multiplayer gets if it's free, which I think one day that has potential to happen, because all the money they make from the microtransactions, like, I think they're going to realize, like, we might be able to do this instead of making people pay $60 and make, could be even more money, because that's just more players are going to come play it and spend money on it. So I could definitely see that happening in the future.
Yeah, and it's pretty interesting now, obviously, with Warzone free to play. If you're the publisher, you sort of have the best of both worlds, right? You have the version that obviously people buy, and you're getting revenue from that, and then you have the free to play version, and so you're getting, you know, you're getting that many more people into the ecosystem. I would actually love to see, and I haven't seen, I'd be curious. I would love to see if there's any stats on how many people kind of came into the, you know, casual players came into COD through Warzone and then end up buying the multiplayer.
Yeah.
But there's no question that free to play creates an additional enormous audience for the esports product. I mean, we're obviously, our other team is in Rocket League that went free to play literally yesterday. So that'll be an interesting test case for us to see how that increases interest and eyeballs and you know, casual players over the course of, you know, over the course of the season for Rocket League.
Yeah. Wow. That's, you're making me think now, like, imagine the biggest video game of all time ever that everyone had to buy the disc every single year. They had to buy membership. They had to buy consoles every single year. Imagine if that game, Call of Duty, was free for everyone. Multiplayer was free. Imagine the numbers. And then especially if it's a good game too, that would be incredible. There would probably be, I don't even know, millions and millions of people playing it, at least giving it a shot for the first time, because I'm sure there's still so many people out there who've never played COD, because it's a very big, it's a lot of money to play COD and do it consistently. So it would be crazy to see if it just went free to play and how big it could possibly get. But I hope it does it soon, because I think that's a good risk to take, and that'd be just good for everyone and everything involved with Call of Duty.
Yeah, I think so too. I think I mean, maybe, I guess, I don't know. I'm trying to think, like, because what I just proposed was, like, competitive is free, and then you can play, you know, multiplayer if you want, or you can play zombies if you want to buy it, right? That, like, barrier there, I think, I don't know. I don't, maybe that's too similar, because then you're kind of playing the multiplayer. You're just playing the competitive version of it. Either way, I do think, like, there should be, like, when I boot up Call of Duty, I want to see campaign, Warzone, multiplayer, league play. Like, I just want it front and center, dude. More people should pay attention to competitive, because it's so sick. All right, going to get into some questions from the chat quick. And if you guys have questions for Attach or Brett or me or all of us, definitely let us know. Attach, if there was no Call of Duty, what other game would you want to play professionally?
Okay, so this takes a lot of thought, because you got to think longevity of the game, how much you actually enjoy the game, and does it have an official league, or is it just kind of like a thrown together kind of esport? So I've already thought about this, because I've been asked that a couple times. It would probably have to be League of Legends, just because I played that game back in the day. Really fun. Spent a good amount of money, probably mostly my parents' money on that game, and the little bit of money I made from local lands back in the day on that game, buying skins and all that. So probably have to be League of Legends. And then I just would have been the NA Faker. Would have had like four world championship wins by now. But I just got to do that in COD. So unfortunately, no League of Legends for me.
Dude, I did not expect a League of Legends answer. That's crazy. It's like so different from COD. Most people are like, yeah, CSGO, or now Valorant's big. So they're like, I'd probably try that. But that's cool that you'd go down pretty much an entire different avenue, pretty much.
Yeah.
As a competitive player that's played for multiple teams with different teammates, is it difficult to build chemistry, or does everyone have the same mindset at the start of the season? So talk a bit about, like, especially now, like, you're coming in, obviously you came with, you know, Accuracy from New York, and you're joining another duo in Major Maniac and Priesta, but, like, talk a bit about, like, you've played for so many iconic brands and organizations at this point with so many different amazing teammates. What's your mindset like chemistry-wise at the beginning of the season?
It's honestly really good to be able to team with new people. I mean, I've already teamed with Accuracy and Priesta before, but, like, I'm reconnecting with Preston and first time teaming with Major Maniac or Mike. And then, of course, I know how Lamar is. But it's just honestly great because, like, you can't be comfortable. People aren't looking out for you and being like, oh, yeah, you can, like, kind of slack off here. Like, it's new people around you, whole new situation. You got to work your ass off. You got to impress the people around you. You got to do whatever you can for yourself and the team to improve. And I just love it, the fact that, like, you just get this whole new mentality. And that's why there can be a lot of, like, honeymoon periods when we see new teams form, like, the middle of the season. They just start doing well because, like, hey, you made a change. You got to step up now. You got to show what the change you made was correct and good for the team and affects the team positively. So I like it. I like being able to team with people and or new people. And, of course, I know how these people are on this team, so that's why I'm really excited. Like, these are some people that I could always – team with at any point, and I know they're going to give it their all. Like, they're never going to slack off, whether we just win one event, whether we just head a five-peat, whether we just won three world champs in a row. Like, I know that these players are never going to slack off when it comes down to it.
Yeah, that's good. I think and we see it all the time with certain either players or teams that have competed in Call of Duty, but, like, that complacent feeling, you know, you literally can't go down that avenue. And we kind of saw that, like, this season. Like, yeah, you did have, like, the top three or four teams pretty much all throughout the year, but the parity that occurred, like, all throughout the season, like, you guys, your team last season, you know, you guys were super struggling at first and then really just turned it around and started, like, getting into it. Like, could have easily just been like, oh, well, my contract's guaranteed and whatever, we're the last, so who cares? Like, you know, you've got to step. It just, everything in the league has become so, so competitive at this point in every aspect. It's kind of insane.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, in a lot of ways, the Subliners had the opposite trajectory that Rocker had last year. Where
yeah.
We started off hot and went downhill. And you guys had, you know, you finish strong, which is, you know, obviously at the end of the day, you want to finish as high at the end of the season and in champs as possible. So hopefully this year we'll start strong and stay strong all the way. But yeah, can you, Dylan, maybe just taking a step back, since, you know, I'm sure a lot of people that, especially people from Minnesota that, you know, might be sort of last year were first time Call of Duty esports fans. Like, they probably know you from the Subliners, but, you know, talk us through your background pre-CDL. Like, what, you know, just the teams you played for before that, because you've got a great history in the scene and, you're a really accomplished player well beyond just, you know, the Subliners year.
Yeah, so going all the way back, I was most recently on FaZe Clan for what? Close to 5 years. I was on EG for a little bit of Black Ops 4, but I was still technically under a FaZe contract. So I was on FaZe for a long time, was able to win 4 championships with that team. Well, actually 5 championships with that team, and just have really good placings. Of course, being on that brand, it's the biggest brand in esports, just with their whole content creation side meets competitive, and there's a bunch of great people on there. They took great care of us, so I'm still happy to see them be in the CDL today. Of course, it's slightly different, but everyone knows FaZe. So that's pretty much where I was for the majority of my career so far. But before that, I was on teams like Denial, Rise Nation, which were rumored to get back in, which would be great. I really like the people over at Rise. They took great care of me when I was on their team in Call of Duty Ghost. They treated us amazing, which a lot of organizations back then didn't treat their players too well. So I always will always have, like, a soft spot for them and always hype them up and gas them up when people ask about them, because they truly did care and take amazing care of us when we traveled to events and stuff. So Yeah, pretty much.
Listen, you're selling yourself short. Dylan, a.k.a. Attach, was the youngest player to win COD champs. He won it with Denial in 2015. World champion, okay? We got a world champ on the podcast. All right, there. I guessed you. Sorry.
I didn't know we were talking about, like, that kind of stuff. Yeah, now you got that. Like, I can't talk about that too much. That's the old news. Like, I'm glad it happened, but we got more stuff to get to.
True. Well, I mean, I guess maybe people were just putting two and two together with the $400,000 check behind you. So they were like, okay, so he done did it, which is pretty cool. But yeah, no, it's been awesome. Just as someone who's kind of been in the scene since 2010, you know, seeing you come in, I thought for some reason it was around AW, but I guess it was just before and go, seeing you come in and really, you had a really quick ascension. I mean, yeah, you won, you know, early in your career, the big one, right? So, like, but the fact that you've stayed, like, so motivated after that point and been able to be so consistently good across all COD titles since then it's impressive. So,
thank you.
I'm just here for you.
I appreciate the gas.
What do you take away from a brand building and a content standpoint from being with an org like FaZe for that long? I mean, there's got to be a lot that comes from that you know, that we can, you know, we can all learn from and help what we're building here.
Yeah, well, being on FaZe, they were huge when it came to, like, the MW2 trick shotting. That's where they first got their start. And then, of course, by the time I was on it, it kind of went to, like, vlogging. That's what, like, they didn't play COD as much, like, all, like, across the whole organization, but they had a lot of viewers and a lot of people watching their vlogs. And it's like just seeing the people, because there's so many people in FaZe, like some, like Jev, who has never stopped playing COD, and he is one of the most dedicated fan bases I've ever seen. He's just an all-around great person every time I've talked to him. Like, just seeing him play COD and still be so successful with all his content over the years is, like, crazy. But then seeing people also switch away from that and go to vlogs and pranks and whatever else they were doing is, like, they've made it in, like, all avenues. Whatever they've went to, they were able to, like, do it right, execute, and get tons and tons of views throughout the organization with having different people doing different things. That's what I think makes people like them so much. Because you might not like watching one person's content on FaZe, but you might love the Fortnite player or the COD player or the vlogger or the, like, there's just so many people you can watch on that. So I kind of, like, wanted to try and do it all, like, be gaming, maybe have some vlogs when I could go outside and go to events and stuff, have some fun. And then also seeing the old Optic team with Ashley here, and then of course, like, Scum, Matt, Nate Shot, and Hex, like, just them being in the COD community, you just know, like, how much they preach content. Content. And so being on FaZe and also seeing that is just like, why would I not do content when I see what it can do and how it could change people's lives and help give so many people opportunities and careers?
Yeah, I think when you're in that opportunity, and I mean, I heard Hector preach this for literally years, but he's like, why would you not try to, like, amplify or take advantage of that position? And that's something that I've always thought was really awesome about your career. It's not because I mean, maybe you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I feel like you even were content-minded before you got on FaZe, and you'd already been putting effort into that. And then once you got on FaZe, you're like, okay, now is when you really, like, put your foot on the gas, because you got to try to take advantage of every opportunity you get in life. And I get it. Like, not everyone is an on-camera type personality, or not everyone has it, but I feel like everyone does have that niche. So whether it's, you know, streaming and streaming your gameplay or playing certain games or even just, like, being active in a certain way on social media, like, those are all brand building exercises, really. And so the fact that, like, if you're a pro player and you're literally only competing, you're barely tweeting, it's not, you're not a bad person or anything, obviously, but you're just not taking full advantage of your opportunity that you have, right?
Exactly.
So why not, right? And for people who are good on camera or have a good, like, personality, sense of humor, whatever it is, I think it's a no-brainer, right, to try to capitalize on it, so.
Yeah,
and you mentioned the content at live events. I can't wait. I can't wait until we're back to live events.
We had some
pretty ambitious plans to do content from events last year that we just never, you know, obviously we didn't get a chance to fulfill, but, you know, live pregame shows, all kinds of crazy stuff that that once we're back to live events, we'll find a way to have some fun. And
yeah,
hopefully that didn't just stress out our staff too much to think about all that work.
Oh yeah, because we have to think about last year too. The new year, we gotta like double up, get all the content we can get at these live events. But now, once the live events come back, it's gonna be crazy. Especially if people enjoy Cold War a lot. I miss it. Like, I was just thinking the other night, like, how much I truly miss it. Cause like I was streaming and stuff. I have like my loyal fan base who will always watch me, no matter who else is streaming. They'll always be there supporting me. And I was just like, I miss like hanging out and seeing these people at events. Like, it's just so fun. Like, people come up to me like, oh, I'm this person from your stream. Like, oh, what's up? Nice to like finally meet you. Or you see the people you've seen at every single event that is in that area. Like, they're like, oh, I've seen you for 4 years in a row now. So I really do miss it. And of course, miss meeting the new supporters, miss seeing the older supporters. And it's going to be fun. I just can't wait for it to get back.
Yeah, I sure hope so. So kind of something that we can talk about from that vein. Haley in the chat just asked, would you prefer a bubble for majors and champs or to play online all year? Obviously, the big rumor out right now is that there's talk of a bubble for the CDL and what that kind of looks like. I'm not really sure. But like, from a player's perspective, I don't want to speak for you, but like, is definitely to play on land, right? Like, what do you think? Do you prefer a bubble situation, or if we have to play online, we suck it up and play online? What's the preference from a player POV?
Yeah, I've been thinking about this a lot when I've seen it. I haven't made any public statements, so this will be my first one really talking about the bubble. But it's not just like a coin flip, not a 50-50 of what's better. Of course, every single professional player would rather have it on land. But I was thinking about it, like, does it make sense to have an 8-month bubble? I was like, I don't think that makes sense, because they have to get us apartments. They have to get us computers, monitors in our apartments, furnished apartments, all this crazy stuff. Because, like, are they just going to not allow players to stream when they're forced to move to a bubble? I would think the best way to do a bubble would have, like, the regular season ish matches online, and then maybe for a month or two go into a bubble, do your competition at playoffs, champs, whatever it may be. But I just think a long-term 8 to 9 month bubble would drive almost every player, person, everyone working at the company behind the scenes insane. The content would be great to like start, but I think if we just have a bubble for like a month or two and just have the big tournaments there, I think that would be perfect, because I just don't think a long-term bubble would make any sense. And I know just about every player would be against it, to be honest.
I think too, I think maybe the people who are just so loosely using the term bubble, like a bubble is
start a bubble. Like,
yeah,
come on.
Like, but
NBA did it.
Like,
they're not worth $1 trillion or anything.
It's so strict. I mean, you have like players.
Yeah, a lot of the sort of chatter, you know, on, you know, whether it's social media, on Reddit, like, I don't think people realize how complicated it can be. So
it's a logistical nightmare.
Yeah, a lot of the people on social media don't actually think of every little thing. They like, the players need, and all the workers, the players, the workers, staff, whoever, they need to be fed. They need a place to live. They need every little thing. They need computers. They need PCs. They need furniture. They need chairs. Like, they're moving away. You can't just go throw them in a shack and have everyone just living in a barn. And then just like, okay, now you guys can show up and play on land. Like, there's so many little things that people are truly forgetting about, where it's not just like, dude, yeah, just do a bubble. Like,
yeah.
I mean, yeah, of course.
If you're thinking
we were that big, it would be great, but
The true definition of a bubble would mean, like, nobody's leaving their apartment. Like, you can't go to the grocery store, go out to eat. Like, no, you are trying to protect the bubble, dude. So I don't know if it's, like, maybe it'll get to a point where it's somewhere in between. But even then, that sounds like you're going to have a hard time getting all teams and all players on board with that. And I think for my POV, if I'm the league, I want everything as consistent as possible all year.
Yeah.
So whether it's online or whatever they end up deciding to do, I don't know. But I think that consistency is key no matter what.
Yeah.
And one thing that I will say, the league does a very good job in these situations, being thoughtful and talking to teams and talking to players. And I'm sure before any final decisions are made there, you know, there's going to be a lot of discussion. And look, in these situations, there's, you know, there's not a perfect solution as long as we're in this pandemic world, there's not a perfect solution for a lot of the things that you have to deal with, whether you're, you know, an e-sport or a traditional sport, or, you know, any business that's, you know, that's trying to deliver their product to their customers. So, you know, there's going to be a lot of considerations that go into everything. And at the end of the day, you know, I'm sure the best possible situation, the best, you know, the best decision will be made given what we have to work with. But
yeah.
You know, I mean, it's, yeah, you look at some of the, you know, some of the things that other sports have had to do to create those environments, and it's pretty crazy. It's nuts.
I just, yeah, I don't know. I'm not sure, kind of which direction it's going to end up fully going. I would assume it would be online until the next season. And who knows, like, how soon the pandemic will be over at this point. It just feels like never. It's been so long, it feels like, but
yeah,
it's been pretty insane. I have a couple more questions here from the chat. Here's a quick one. What controller will you be using for competitive with the Switch to play Cold War on PC with controllers? So are you like an Xbox controller guy? You a PS4 controller guy? Or Scoff, what do you use?
So I grew up pretty much using an Xbox 360, then Xbox One controller. Of course, the Switch in 2016 in Black Ops 3. That's when we went to PlayStation again, and I've been using like a PlayStation controller ever since. So I don't know. That's a good question. I have to decide. I'm going to see what crazy stuff I can get added, because there's some crazy, crazy things you could do to a controller to like give yourself and your teammates the advantage, which you got to take advantage of, because if you're not having those, you're literally putting yourself behind, whether it's like the digital tap triggers, the buttons, all the paddles, buttons, and crazy stuff on it that you want to be able to customize it to get the most potential and most use out of it. But I don't know. We're going to have to see. I'll have to get that decided very soon.
Yeah, maybe when you're grinding the beta, you try out a couple different scuff shells or whatever. I use the Impact because it's kind of shaped like a 360 controller. I kind of really like it, but I don't know. I'm excited for that. Here's a question from Icon. Shout out to Icon, by the way. You know, obviously friend of the team here. He's been on a few of our different content pieces. He asks, Attach, what's your early take on the competitive meta for Cold War 2? 2 SMG? 2 AR? Something different. What are you thinking so far? Is it too early?
It's hard to say, especially whenever a new COD comes out. It's mostly AR heavy because no one really knows the exact timings, the exact best angles, exactly where to go. So like, you're usually just in a better position with an AR because you're kind of just like waiting around looking for people than with a sub, because you don't really know the good routes yet to take, all the crazy movement stuff yet. So the game usually goes from starting off slow and then gets faster and faster and faster throughout the whole rest of the season once more stuff gets found out. But I would think a 2 AR, 2 SMG would be a solid start to the game. I think the ARs seem pretty good up close, medium, and long range. And the SMGs are pretty good at all ranges as well. But we'll see. I think it'll be probably 2 and 2 to start.
Did you have a favorite sub from the alpha?
Yeah, probably the AK-74U. That gun was disgusting.
So good. It was just good at everything.
Yeah, everything. It melted, very little recoil, could kill at all ranges very quickly. Like, it was great.
Yeah. All right, we've got a couple more questions before we got to wrap here. We actually are starting our grid broadcast over on the Version 1 Twitch. If you guys don't know what that is, it's the Rocket League team that we have under Version 1, which is like a sister team to Minnesota Rocker. And we'll be playing, obviously, tonight. So excited to go see the grid broadcast after that. But before then, Attach, I got some burning questions. Chat, make sure
Let's
to put
go.
Any other last-second questions here for Dylan. Someone asked, what does Attach think the strengths of the team are? Other than being, like, the most handsome team in the CDL, like, what's the team's, like, main strengths in your opinion?
Our strengths would have to be our smarts. We definitely have a lot of very intelligent players on our team. Of course, we have talent as well. That's one of our good strengths. We have a lot of really talented players on the team. And then a big thing that a lot of teams – it's hard to make nowadays is having a team that could actually work together and not absolutely want to kill each other and have like a good mesh of people to just be able to get things done quickly. when there's an issue in game, a situation, get that resolved and move on to the next one, because there's going to be so much you're going to have to learn, so much you're going to have to talk about. The faster you can just get that one done and figured out and move on, the better your team's going to be. So it's just a good mix of people who just want to win and are easy to work with. That's going to be another one of our big strengths.
Awesome. And that answer might kind of tie into your answer for this next question, but what made you want to come to Minnesota particularly?
Of course, having my most important thing always is going to have or be the best roster that I can go to. Like, that's the team I want to play for. If I can have like an absolute disgusting team, I want to play with that team and have the best opportunity to win. And then also when it came to like the organization standpoint, we've all said it many times how much Minnesota cares, and you can tell how much they care because all the content they do. Let me tell you, we all had 8-hour days shooting content. So there's going to be a lot of content coming.
I put it through the ringer, man.
Yes. If you guys like the Minnesota Rocker, if you've just started watching them right now, they do a lot of content. I don't know. I didn't expect this much, but it's great. And I'm excited for what's going to come this year.
Yeah,
of course.
Is that the longest media day shoot you've had?
Probably for like an individual like team.
I bet for the
because usually individual team ones. Yeah, I've had like ones that are still really long and like all day, but it was good. We got a lot of stuff done, a lot of fun stuff, a lot of serious stuff. There's a lot of good talks, a lot of good photos. Ooh, the Twitter gifts that are gonna be coming soon are insane. People are gonna be using those all over the place. They're gonna be great.
Yeah, we had to do it to them. I did not do a good job of priming the players. I was like, be there for media day 9, whatever, blah blah blah. And or I think even for you, it was like 7
I'd be
in
at
the
8.
Morning.
Yeah, yeah, I had to wake up at like 6:30, be there at 8. But that's my normal schedule, so that's my normal schedule.
That's why I put you at that time, because that's when you're streaming anyway. We got so much great content. I know we haven't uploaded any of it yet, but it's coming. We've got a lot, and you know, it's the life of being remote, right? If they don't live in Minnesota right now, so we just got to get it done, and we've got a lot of cool videos coming your guys's way. We got a question from coach is in the chat. Brian's in the chat. Shout out Saint. He said, who would win in a no rules fight to the death between Jake and myself?
Oh, that's a good one. I'd probably have to go with Brian, the coach right here. I think Jake might be a little softy when it comes to fighting. I don't know. Something about him just tells me he's a little softy when it comes to fighting. So I got Brian on it for sure.
I feel like in a verbal fight, Jake would win.
Oh, yeah. But yeah, verbally, Jake slaughters just about everyone.
Literally.
Except for me. And then then Brian, when it comes to hand-to-hand combat, or actually no rules, so it could be anything, I think you could take Jake.
Yeah, but if there's no rules, wait. All right. I'm not saying
it can get crazy if there's no rules.
I
don't know.
I'm not saying Brian's not smart, but I'm just saying that Jake is really smart, and he would, like, I'm sure, find some kind of loophole and, like, I don't know, bring a Molotov or something, or I don't know, just, like, get the intelligence edge, and then Brian would maybe, I don't know, maybe he would try to brute force it.
That's if he has enough time to think.
True, yeah. It depends on how much
Brian
time, like,
might just come out of the gate swinging.
Like, let's say
one
the next
punch,
the
knocked
next,
him out.
The next
it's
time,
over.
The next time they're both in the Rocker facility, there's no rules fight that's popping off then, I think Brian does win. He's tall. Brian's a big, tall guy. So,
yeah.
I don't know. I feel like.
Maybe we get the two of them in those, like, sumo suits and let them go at it. that's solid content.
That could be
right
some good content. Yeah, that's very good content.
Exactly. All right, I got two more quick questions about the new COD, which is my favorite thing to talk about this time of year. favorite modes so far in Cold War? I know we only got to play a couple of them, but what did you think of the modes?
Hardpoint, without a doubt. Domination was in there. I was like, oh, shit, here we go again. Domination, I was like, please just get me off this. And then it was TDM and Kill Confirmed, which are just truly two of the worst
terrible
game modes if you're like a competitive player and actually want to play people that are like not just camping in corners and hiding. So Hardpoint, far and away, best game mode. Wait, what was the other one? Control. I'm really excited to play Control as well in the season. But yeah, Hardpoint, best game mode in the alpha, without a doubt.
Yeah, they had Control in like a version of the alpha that we actually streamed here on this channel, which you should subscribe to, by the way, and hit like on this video.
Yes.
Appreciate you.
Yes, very important to subscribe and hit like.
Exactly, it's the number one. But so Control was in that version of the game, so I'm I mean, I don't want to assume things because then I might get my expectations high and then get let down, but it's safe to assume maybe the control would be in the beta. So if they put like hard point and control and they actually like let you choose those objective game modes, I'll be super stoked. And then did you have a favorite map from the alpha and why was it Moscow? Just kidding. Say your answer though.
No, so I have there's two answers, because this is one thing people really don't look at COD the same way I do, where there's a competitive side of everything and then there's the casual public match side of everything. And Moscow has the most potential to be a competitive map the way it works. Satellite probably won't be competitive, and then Miami definitely, I hope will not be competitive. But when it comes to public match fun, I was having a great time just getting control of the people's base on satellite and just absolutely spawn trapping them, getting 3 pieces, 4 pieces, 5 pieces, just crazy feeds. So for the most fun for public matches, satellite, most potential and good for competitive would be Moscow.
I agree.
So here I'm going to come in with another noob question. Like why were satellite, why do you see satellite in Miami as not ideal for competitive?
There's a lot of reasons that go into it. It could be anywhere from the map's too big. There's too many random little, like, entryways, corners, and just, like, random stuff around the map that just don't really make sense, or just make it too, like, easy of a map to lock down where the other team has, like, no chance of being able to break on in. It just kind of depends, like, how the map is laid out with, like, the head glitches, the buildings, and everything. It's a tough choice to make. But hopefully we can all like a bunch of the pro players can decide when the full game is out what like the best maps are. And usually we do a pretty good job, because we've definitely had some crazy maps that have been in the game that almost made it into competitive. But we usually just pick the best ones that make the most sense and play the best.
Yeah, I think it really comes down to just having like, if you remember playing Moscow, it really does have like more of a classic design to it. It has some good flank routes. It's got the lanes where you want. It's got cool points of interest. It's got a middle section that's insane. But then you look at like, and I've always said this, dude, any map that's round, horrific. Like, and I feel satellite's kind of roundish. Like, there's no real like calculated spawn points. And I mean, there was a spawns of an alpha, so who knows if they're going to improve. I'm going to assume they will. But the spawns on that map were kind of nuts. I will say, I agree with you. Satellite was the most fun to play because you like, mm-hmm. like, going through the caves and, like, trying to find the people and getting those angles was a lot of fun. But when I think of competitive Moscow, if that's not a hardpoint map, call me shocked, dude. Call me shocked. All right. That went so quick, Dylan. I thought we would have.
It did go quick.
I feel like we would have more time to talk to you. I'm sure we'll have you on again. We'd love to have you on again.
Of course.
Wanted to have you on this week to, you know, give people a chance. Obviously, I mean, you have a ton of fans already from just being, at this point, like a major veteran in the COD scene. But for anyone who's new.
Make me feel old.
No. I'm older. I'm way older. If you feel old, just like think of how old I am. But yeah, I think it's great to have you on, introduce you to the Rocker YouTube, get you on here to answer some questions and just have a good time. So thanks for coming on. And Brett, any final words before I close it out?
No, those of you who are watching live, go check out Version 1 Twitch to scope out the Rocket League team. I'm gonna switch to the Version 1 hat
there
right
you go.
Now. Dylan, did we send you some of the V1 merch? Was that in the care package?
No. I need to put you guys on the spot. I need a lot more merch. I need a lot Minnesota Rocker merch and Version 1 merch. I'm down for it all. I need t-shirts, all that stuff.
Because
once I have the two that are dirty, I'm like, oh, what do I wear now? but yeah, I definitely need a lot more shirts to be rocking.
We got you. Right. We got you. We'll send
Appreciate
you a big
Thank
care
you.
Package. We got some really cool merch plans in the work.
I'm excited.
For season 2. Very excited.
I'm excited.
So anyway, thank you guys so much for listening. If you're listening on a podcast app, thanks so much. Make sure to subscribe so you don't miss an episode, and rate us if you think we're awesome. Please do that. Thanks. And also subscribe to the YouTube, like the video, really appreciate you. And of course, go check out the Version 1 GG Twitch channel. We are starting our grid broadcast for Rocket League this week. We're going up against Rogue, and I'm low-key kind of nervous about that, because there's some the grid's starting to have some serious implications. So we've got the matches are getting serious. Anyway, I'll catch you guys next time. We'll see you later. Thanks for listening.